You know that feeling when you're sitting across from someone, maybe it's a first date or a high-stakes meeting, and you find yourself staring at their crossed arms, wondering if they're actually mad at you or just cold? We've all been there, trying to play amateur detective with these little cheat sheets we've picked up over the years. You've heard the tropes. Looking to the left means you're lying. Touching your nose means you're hiding something, and crossed arms don't automatically mean stay away. But here's the thing, most of that is just plain wrong. According to, the biggest mistake you can make is treating body language like a literal dictionary where one gesture equals one specific meaning. It's never that simple because humans are messy, complicated, and full of contradictions. If you rely on those rigid definitions, you're going to misread people constantly. Real people reading isn't about memorizing a list of tells, it's actually a much more fluid, research-backed skill that looks for clusters of signals rather than isolated movements. In fact, when you start focusing on clusters, multiple things happening at once across the face, body, and voice, your accuracy in understanding what someone is actually thinking jumps up to about 67 or 68%. That's the difference between guessing and actually knowing. This matters for you because every single day, you're navigating a world of unspoken signals. Whether you're trying to figure out if your boss is actually impressed with your proposal, or if a friend is quietly struggling with something they aren't saying out loud, being able to read the page gives you a massive advantage in empathy and influence. It's like finally getting the subtitles for a movie you've been watching on mute for years. But before you can start decoding the secrets, you have to throw out the old rule book and learn the one rule that makes everything else possible, the baseline. So, let's get into why your first 3 minutes with someone are actually the most important part of the entire interaction. I was thinking about how we usually jump straight into interpreting someone the second they walk into the room, but that's actually a total rookie move. If you want to read someone like a page, you have to know what the blank page looks like first. This is what experts call establishing a baseline. Think about it. Some people are just naturally fidgety. They might tap their pen or bounce their leg, even when they're perfectly happy. If you don't know that's their normal, you might see them tapping a pen in a meeting and assume they're anxious or lying about a deadline, when really, they're just being themselves. Former FBI agents will tell you that the crossed arms equals defensive thing is one of the biggest myths out there. Some people cross their arms because it's comfortable, or because they're deep in thought, or honestly, because the air conditioning is way too high. You can't know what a gesture means until you know what that specific person looks like when they're relaxed and have absolutely nothing to hide. So, the next time you're in a conversation, try this. Spend the first 2 or 3 minutes just observing. Don't try to read them yet. Just notice how they sit, where their hands naturally rest, and how much eye contact they usually make when they're talking about something boring, like the weather or what they had for lunch. That's your gold standard. Once you have that mental map of their normal, every shift, every little twitch or change in tone becomes a data point that actually means something. It's like calibrating a scale before you weigh something. If the scale isn't set to zero, the final number is useless. This is level one of people reading, and without it, you're just guessing. But once you have that baseline, you need a way to sort the information you're seeing into a system that actually makes sense. Which brings us to the whole micropositive and micronegative framework. Once you've got that baseline dialed in, you can start sorting every movement you see into two very simple buckets, micropositives and micronegatives. It's a way to filter the noise. A micropositive is basically any signal that says, I'm interested, I'm curious, or I'm with you. Think of things like a head tilt or an eyebrow raise. On the flip side, a micronegative is a signal of discomfort, disinterest, or stress, like someone physically pulling back or covering their mouth. But, and this is the part where people usually trip up, you can't just see one micronegative and decide the person hates you. You're looking for clusters. If someone crosses their arms, that's one signal. But if they cross their arms, lean away, and their feet start pointing toward the exit, now you've got a cluster that actually tells a story. It's like how one word doesn't make a sentence, but 3 or 4 words together give you a clear thought. Research shows that accuracy in reading people really only scales up when you stop looking at isolated gestures and start looking for these groups of signals happening across different channels, like the face, the body, and the voice all at once. If the words say I'm fine, but the voice is higher than the baseline and the hands are tightly gripped, the cluster is telling you the truth while the words are just a distraction. You're essentially becoming a pattern matcher. You want to see if the signals are pointing in the same direction. It's actually kind of fun when you start seeing it this way. It's less about being a mind reader and more about being a highly observant witness. And one of the most interesting micronegatives to watch for is something we all do when we're feeling a little exposed or embarrassed. That classic shame display. Have you ever noticed how someone looks when they've just realized they made a huge mistake in a meeting? There's this very specific, almost universal pattern that humans do when we feel ashamed or embarrassed. It's like we're trying to physically shrink so nobody can see us. Our gaze goes down, our head drops, and we might even touch our forehead or cover our eyes. Psychologists like Dacher Keltner have actually mapped this out. It's an inward-directed response. I saw this in a movie once, the character Queen Eleanor in Brave, and animators actually use that forehead touch as a visual shorthand for shame because we all recognize it instinctively. It's a self-soothing gesture, a way of eye-blocking, to literally shut out the world when things feel too intense. And speaking of blocking, that's another big one to watch for. Blocking is anything that puts a barrier between you and the other person, a laptop, a notepad, or even just crossed legs. We do it for protection, but you have to be careful with the interpretation. Remember the baseline. One study actually found that people who cross their arms might just be concentrating harder on a difficult task, not necessarily shutting you out. So, if you see someone block, don't panic, look for the rest of the cluster. Are they frowning and leaning away? Then yeah, they're probably disengaged. But if they're smiling and making great eye contact while their arms are crossed, they might just be comfortable or deep in thought. It's all about the context. If you notice a sudden eye block or a hand covering the face, it's a huge signal that the person is feeling a spike in cognitive load or emotional stress. It's a micronegative that tells you it might be time to ease up or change the subject before things get even more uncomfortable. But it's not all about the negatives. There are some really cool micropositives that show someone is actually totally locked into what you're saying. If you want to know if someone is truly listening to you, like really listening, watch their head. There's this thing called the head tilt, and it's one of the most underrated micropositives in the human toolkit. When we tilt our head, we're actually exposing our ear to hear better, but it's also a signal of vulnerability and engagement. Oprah is the absolute queen of this. If you watch her interviews, she doesn't just sit there. She leans in, tilts her head, and adds a little nod. It's a nonverbal way of saying, I hear you, I'm with you, keep going. It makes the other person feel incredibly seen and safe. Try this the next time you're in a one-on-one. Give a slight head tilt and a subtle nod. You'll be shocked at how much more people open up to you. And then there's the eyebrows. We talk so much about eye contact, but the eyebrows are where the real action is. Have you ever noticed that eyebrow flash? It's that super quick, involuntary raise that lasts like a fifth of a second. It's a universal signal for I see you and I'm friendly. We use it across every culture as a greeting cue. When someone raises their eyebrows while you're talking, it's like their brain is literally trying to clear the way so their eyes can take in more of you and your information. It signals curiosity and interest. If you're giving a presentation and you see a few eyebrow raises in the room, you're winning. It means people are curious. But if the faces are flat and the eyebrows are heavy, you've lost them. These tiny flashes of interest are the breadcrumbs that lead you to understanding how someone really feels about the conversation. And while the face is great, there's another channel that we often ignore, even though it's actually way harder for people to fake. This part actually blew my mind when I first heard it. We spend so much time obsessing over facial expressions, but research from Yale shows that you might actually be more accurate at detecting emotions if you close your eyes and just listen to someone's voice. Think about it. We've been trained since we were kids to put on a brave face or smile for the camera. We're pretty good at faking a facial expression, but the voice, that's much harder to control. Your vocal cords are linked to your involuntary nervous system. If you're stressed or anxious, your pitch might go up or your breathing might get a little shallow, and it's really hard to hide that. It's why you can sometimes tell your best friend is upset just by the way they say hello on the phone, even before they say a word about what's wrong. Higher pitch usually means stress or excitement, while a sudden drop in volume can signal vulnerability or that they're sharing something really sensitive. And then there's the speed. Slower speech can mean someone is tired, or it can mean they're being incredibly careful with their words, maybe even overthinking them. If you want to get a real sense of someone's emotional state, try focusing entirely on their vocal patterns for a minute. Notice the pauses, the shifts in tone, the little tremors. It's often a much more honest page to read than the face. Of course, that doesn't mean the face is useless. You just have to know how to spot the micro-expressions that leak out before the person has a chance to cover them up. There are 7 of these universal expressions, things like anger, fear, and sadness, that look the same whether you're in New York or a remote village in Papua New Guinea. The most dangerous one to watch for, though, is contempt. It's that one-sided mouth raise like a half smirk. And it's the single strongest predictor of a relationship failing. If you see that smirk during a negotiation or a difficult conversation, take note. It's a major red flag that the person feels superior or dismissive toward you. So, let's talk about the thing everyone wants to know. How do you tell if someone is lying to you? Most people think they can spot a lie by looking for fidgeting or eye contact, but the reality is that the average person is only about 54% accurate at detecting deception. That's basically a coin flip. The reason we're so bad at it is that we look for the wrong things. We look for stress signals, but stress doesn't always mean a lie. It's called the Othello error, named after the Shakespeare play where Othello thinks Desdemona is lying because she looks terrified, but she's actually only terrified because he's falsely accusing her. Being nervous isn't the same as being guilty. If you really want to spot a liar, you have to use what experts call cognitive load. Lying is exhausting for the brain. You have to invent a story, keep it consistent, monitor the other person's reaction, and try to act normal all at once. If you want to see if a story holds up, try the reverse recall method. Ask the person to tell you what happened, but starting from the end and moving backward to the beginning. Truth tellers can usually do this because they're just accessing a real memory, but for a liar, it's a nightmare. Their script is usually rehearsed in forward order, and trying to flip it causes their brain to overload. You'll start seeing more filler words like or longer pauses, and way fewer details. It's a much more reliable way to see if someone is being straight with you. Also, keep an eye out for incongruence. That's when the words and the body language just don't match. If someone is saying, "I'm so happy for you," but they're showing a micro expression of contempt, or their body is angled toward the door, trust the body. The body can be a useful clue, even when the mouth is busy making things up. I know this feels like a lot to take in, but remember, reading people is a skill, not some magical gift you're born with. You can actually train yourself to get better at this with a little deliberate practice. So, here is your quick start playbook for the next time you're out in the world. Step 1. Spend the first few minutes of every meeting or coffee date just finding the baseline. What does relaxed look like for this person? Step 2. Watch for clusters, not just single gestures. If you see a mouth cover, don't just assume they're lying. Look for other signals like gaze aversion or a change in voice pitch. Step 3. Use micropositives to your advantage. If you want to show you're engaged, use that head tilt and those eyebrow raises. It changes the entire energy of the room. Step 4. Listen to the voice. If the pitch spikes or the volume drops suddenly, you've probably hit an emotional nerve. And step 5. Check your own biases. We all have confirmation bias, where we only see what we want to see. If you've already decided someone is difficult, you'll notice every single micronegative they send and ignore all the micropositives. Try to stay open to being wrong. The goal isn't to judge people, it's to understand them better so you can connect more deeply. It's about building empathy, not just catching people. When you start seeing these cues as a superpower for connection, it changes how you move through the world. You stop reacting to what people say and start responding to how they actually feel. It's a much more human way to live. So, the next time you're in a conversation, just pick one thing to watch for. Maybe just the eyebrows or just the vocal pitch and see what you notice. You might be surprised at how much you've been missing. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today and diving into all of this. It's a lot to chew on, but hopefully it gives you a whole new way to look at the people in your life. Take a second today to just observe someone without trying to fix or change anything. Just see if you can find their baseline. It's the first step to truly reading the page.